Right. And 1240 WGBB
I don't know.
Freeport.
Oh my God, I don't know what's going on here.
Wellness.
Don't change that dial. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. This is the most listened to show on WGBB. It's time for...
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air. Hey, man, how that...
Hey, man, and that was Dr. John Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you, we love Jesus.
We most certainly do.
And we got some guests.
Yes, we do. We have Tody Conforti from St. Aidan's Parish. And Tody has been a friend for years, really, and is on the board, I believe, used to be on the board at St. Aidan's, and has been doing so much in terms of evangelization. She attended Scott Hahn sessions at the Franciscan University for many years. In fact, she brought Scott Hahn here one year, and we had almost 1,000 people there.
I remember when you brought Scott Hahn here. Yes.
And we need to get a microphone over closer to
yes,
Tody, so yes, that we can hear her. And we just welcome you. Welcome.
Okay. So, Tody, we welcome you with all our hearts, and we thank you for taking the time to come and visit us. You're very special to us, because we know you're close. You're close to the Bible. You're close to the readings. You're close to the teachings of the Catholic Church. And you teach, don't you? Don't you do lessons and teach and conferences and things of that nature?
Sure.
Yes, but I am the one that thank you to bring me here, because I love to talk about Jesus and about the Bible.
Let's thank Jesus. Okay. For bringing us all together.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to be here and talk about something so beautiful as the letter to the Ephesians that St. Paul wrote.
Yes.
You know, you made us read it. We had to reread that before.
But the only
came.
Problem, I have got to confess, I concentrated on Philippians because I thought that's what you were going to talk about. But then I realized that the Ephesians and Philippians are connected, and so is St. Paul. So I happen to love St. Paul because of his life and how things transgress, and I broke his life down. I'm going to talk about St. Paul later on, but I want to show how his life has four avenues to the road to Jesus.
Let's hear about Ephesians first.
Okay, yes, okay. Talk about Ephesians.
Yeah, St. Paul wrote Ephesians when he was prisoner of the Romans. He could not, the Jewish could not do anything to St. Paul, although they wanted to, because he was a Roman citizen. So only the Romans can do something about him. And they put him prisoner, and he knew that was the last part of his ministry, because they're going to kill him. And so they he was in jail, and he wrote the letter to the Ephesians because he could not be there. He promised to be there a second time, but he could not be there. And the letter is but one of the 73 books of the Bible, but the characteristic is set apart from every other book of the Bible. The Bible teaches that every Christian is unique and has a particular contribution to make to the body of Christ. I believe that is the same for the books of the Bible. Each one has their own setting, has their own audience and message, And to appreciate a particular book of the Bible, we must first come to recognize that the unique contribution to the body of Christ. Paul wrote this letter when he was in jail, and the possibilities of his death was very real to him. It seems that his ministry, his teaching, was coming to an end, and even so his heart and his mind were in the heavenlies. Our spiritual center of gravity is too low, too human, too temporal, too material, too self-centered. Ephesians is written to change our center of gravity, to change our perspective to see earthly appearances in the light of heavenly realities, to see time in the light of eternity, to change our orientation from man-centered to God-centered.
Amen.
We need to see first and foremost that God is God, that He is perfect and complete in Himself, that He does not need us to complete His fullness. He's not efficient without us. Rather, we are deficient without Him. And even He does not need us in the great love with which He loved us and created us, made a way to give us His grace. The essence of the letter to the Ephesians is to draw our attention to the glory of God. He said in Ephesians that we need to see Him with the eyes of our heart. Amen. And that is how we need to see, we need to read Ephesians.
Isn't
with
that
the
wonderful?
Eyes of our heart.
Can I ask a question, Toti?
Yeah.
Now, it's believed that St. Paul wrote the epistle to the Philippians. Did St. Paul write the Ephesians? Did he write any of those?
I believe he wrote the Ephesians.
You believe he wrote the Ephesians?
Yeah.
But there's no historical documentation, I think, that I couldn't find anyway, that he did write it. But he's so connected with the Philippians and with the Ephesians.
Right.
The dots are connected there.
Yeah, and First Colossians too, also. And,
yes.
I believe that he wrote, because the message is very simple.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
I love the world of man, but see it through God's heart and open your heart and look at things timelessly.
Right.
That's what I get from Ephesians. That's what I get from Paul and his writings.
Yeah, that's what it is. And, Ephesus was a very big place. Okay, and many people came and go because it was a trade place. So Ephesus was the most important city in Western Asia Minor. And now Ephesus is in Turkey. And Mary went to live there with St. John. And the house of Mary is still there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When you go and you visit that house, such a peace come over you. And not only us that believe in Mary, and we know that is our mother and the mother of God, the people, the tourist people that goes into that house feels that peace that is there.
Mm-hmm. Could you explain something? I'm confused. Exactly where is the house that Mary lived with John after the crucifixion of Jesus? What purported country is it in today?
In Turkey.
Turkey.
Oh, Turkey.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, very
That's
good.
That's what it is.
Well, you're an encyclopedia of knowledge. Thank God bless you.
Because Ephesus is in Turkey now.
Ephesus is in Turkey, yes.
And it's a place where you can go. You cannot even show that you are Christian because they don't allow you to carry Bibles or to whatever. You go as a tourist, but you know that St. John lived there with Mary, and that is a special place.
And I was just going to say, and it's a special place, a special house, a special location.
Yeah.
But is it
and
open
in the
to?
In the time that Paul wrote the letter, it was a very, very commercial center. And many Jewish people lived there, and many, many Christians people lived there. And Paul made Ephesus as a center of evangelization because for about 3 years he taught there, and the church that was there flourished under the teachings of Saint Paul.
So Saint Paul plays a very intricate, very important role in Ephesians and Philippians and in bringing evangelizing in the word of Christ.
Yeah.
And so he came a long way from his conversion, didn't he?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And he says in Ephesians, he says that he was made to proclaim the Jesus was a Messiah, but he says that he was made a minister for the gospel. The gospel was still not written or anything like that. The letters of St. Paul were before we had the gospel written. But to be a minister is to be a servant for the Lord.
Yes.
Okay? And have a commandment of go and teach and tell about Jesus to everyone, the ones that wants to hear us and the one that doesn't want to hear us. Doesn't matter, because the seed will stay there, and the Lord will know what to do with that word that we give to them.
Mm-hmm. You know what I think you just said, that really just put such an emphasis on Paul. His letters were before there were any Gospels.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they're usually, after you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and after the Acts of the Apostles, but it's really backwards. The right. letters were there before the Gospels were written, or in any way shared. And it was really the heart of Jesus that he was sharing, and the love of God.
Yeah.
And the unity with God. It, you know, as I read those letters, I didn't really think of it that way. What a powerful statement that is. Well, those letters were before anything
right.
that was written, and after the death of Jesus. That's so powerful.
Yeah. And Paul, being so Jewish mm-hmm. and so much into he wanted to kill everyone that was that loved Jesus, okay, and then all of a sudden turn around 180 yeah. and 80 degrees and start saying to everybody that the name of and it says here in the fourth chapter, and the name of Jesus, everybody should kneel.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And that is the amazing role that the Lord gave him, because he was sent to talk about the Gentiles.
yes,
was something that the Jewish people didn't want to hear. That the Gentiles and the Jewish people will be one in the body of Christ.
Yes.
And they will be together. And like I say, you know, Jewish people didn't want to hear that.
No. I could picture him.
They will be one with all of us.
I could picture him totally walking into a temple and starting to talk about the Gentiles. And they must look at him and say, are you for real? You're coming here and you're talking about who? Jesus? What are you talking about?
Right.
And the power of the Spirit that was with him that just went out from him and opened the church, if you want, Jews and Gentiles alike as one in love. What a powerful, powerful man he must have been.
Yes.
It was obviously God, and God infused that in him. Yeah.
Well, his conversion was a very powerful conversion. I can't wait to talk about his life. I broke his life down into four parts, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah,
but his conversion is very, very dynamic. Very.
Yeah, right.
And it's a perfect example of that. Once you find Jesus, you find life, and you find a friend,
right.
And you'll do anything for that friend.
Everything was revealed to him.
Yes.
Because he wasn't not walking with Jesus or knowing anything about him. But when he, to kill the Christians, he had everything revealed to him.
The word theologians use is
right.
Infused. It was infused, just like he had a lobotomy, if you want. That was just all that knowledge was just became part of him through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah,
that's what conversion is.
That's a good word, infused. Yeah,
right, and that's how he became an apostle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because how in any mind will think that Saint Paul, Saul, will be an apostle for Jesus.
Yeah. Can you tell us anything about the Ephesians as far as their background and as far as their faith in Christianity? Was that something that was always there with the Ephesians, mm-hmm. or was it something that was developed over time?
Well, Paul was in Ephesus for 3 years.
Yes.
Okay. And he promised that he will come back. But, of course, you know, he was in jail, and he knew, he understood that was the last time. Okay. So that's why he wrote the letter.
Mm-hmm.
And he's telling them the great goal that Jesus, God, has for the church. That the Gentiles will be one with the Jews in the body of Christ. Mm. We all belong to the body of Christ.
Yes.
The body of Christ is the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And all of us belong to the church.
And we are the church.
Right, and we are the church. Gentiles, Jews, okay, all belong to the church. And that is what he was written in the Ephesians.
Yeah, can I interrupt for just one moment again? Because that placement in time is so important. There was no Bible. There was no television. There was no radio. There was only one-on-one communication by a man who was infused with God's love, who stepped forward and put out a message that put his life on the line.
Right.
Gentiles and Jews are to be one in God's love.
Right.
That's God's plan of salvation. Wow. Right. Wow, what a man.
Right. And he revealed...
That's what I say, what a man he was.
Right. He revealed that he had known the mystery of God. What was the mystery of God? All generations before you know? They didn't know about Jesus.
No.
Okay? So he comes and he reveals the mystery that for all generations was not known to, you know, and that, and now comes Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus will talk about the Holy Spirit. And that was the mystery.
And it was the change from the letter of the law to the heart of God's love. That's when he was teaching.
Right.
And to me, to be there out on the limb all by yourself, bringing these words through the power of the Spirit, yes,
right,
but bringing this whole new way of viewing God, right, it's just totally unbelievable. And that's what conversion is about even today.
But doesn't it entail, isn't conversion predicated on the Holy Spirit coming down upon you?
That's what happened to Paul.
Touching you, and that's what happened to Paul, right?
That's what happened
to you. That's what made him so. And that's what happened to the apostles when the Holy Spirit hit the 12 apostles with the tongues, and it made brave men out of them instead of cowards, and they went out and they started evangelizing. That's the power of our Holy Spirit.
But I still want to stick with that time thing.
I'm
sorry. Because nobody knew about the flames. Nobody knew about the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And here he is standing in the midst of people who had their mind set. This is God, and this is what we do. We follow all these laws. And he's saying, no. God is not law. He frees you from the law and gives you love and says, look at life through my eyes of love and not your human eyes of being punished for violating laws. And I mean, I may be restating it funny, but I really, when I think of that, it's almost like today when you go out to the young people, same thing. They don't get it. They haven't heard it in their hearts. And Paul stood against all tide and did that. What a man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'll be quiet now.
Okay,
that's
okay. No, don't worry. We didn't take the tape out. We're not going to tape you up. No, you're fine. Sometimes he talks a lot, Tony, so we tape his mouth up with duct tape. Yeah, keep the guy quiet, you know?
But the power of the Spirit is here, Tony, because I can feel it, and I can see it in you, too. Tell us more about what you had in mind to say today.
Yeah, and the Lord, God has a plan for all of us,
mm-hmm,
okay,
mm-hmm,
but also has a plan for the church. And he reveals the plan. That's the beauty of all that. He reveals the plan slowly, as we can comprehend it, as we can understand his plan for all of us and for the body of Christ, for the church. And that plan is always for our good. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we say, God, why you permit these things to happen? Well, after a while we realize that what happened made us stronger, made us more united. And in Ephesians, he says that that God first has to reconcile the individuals. And when the individuals to himself, to God, okay? And when the individuals are reconciled, he will made them that to go and proclaim him. Now, we need to ask the Holy Spirit for boldness.
Yes.
Because we need to proclaim the plan of God for all of us. God created us in love. And because of that, we have the love of God in our heart. We have to proclaim that. We have to love everyone around us in a way that they will say, oh, I want to have what that person has. You know, it's to me, it's really amazing how the Lord put in our path people that needs to know what we have to say. I am teaching. You know, the Lord gave me that gift. I'm teaching classes, you know, in St. Aidan. And I used to do it in my house, but this goes on for maybe 20 or 22 years. And I see that the people that comes, that the Lord called to be in our class, always get the gift of telling others what they learn. And that's how we make it bigger and bigger, the people that knows. Because I understand that not even they come to church and they go to mass and whatever, they really don't understand what Jesus is all about and the graces that we have, for instance, in the sacrament. Okay, many people don't understand that the Eucharist is the real presence of the Lord.
Amen.
When we receive the Eucharist, we receive the risen Lord. We receive the Trinity, because when Jesus is, the Father is, and the Holy Spirit is.
Mm-hmm.
So when we receive the Eucharist, we receive the Trinity in us.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that we need, anything that we want to ask, is the time to tell the Lord what we need. If we only know how important is the Eucharist, how the risen Lord is alive inside us, we should receive the Eucharist more often.
You know, in my prayer life, I ask God, you know, you put me in the office of new evangelization in the diocese. How do you evangelize? You know what I heard inside of me? It's really quite simple. You be you, and I'll be me. And I'll change you if you let me. And then as you be you, others will see me in you.
Oh, absolutely.
It's so simple.
Yes, absolutely. Isn't that what we're meant to do?
I think so.
To that's reflect what the image of Jesus to other people?
I
really do think that's what we're meant to do. That's great, John.
Right. I thought that the Lord allow me to be here so long, you know, so many years, because he wants me to talk about him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he lets me be around because I still haven't gotten it right, you know. Yeah. And maybe one of these years I will.
But someday you will. John, keep trying. You will.
Right. And now he gave me another
job?
Another job.
Oh, that's interesting.
And the job that he gave me now, I think that is going to be so powerful for, and so part of the evangelization, of the new evangelization that everybody wants, and the popes, the last three popes talk about it, and it's called symbolon. That means that is the way, or let's say what symbolon means. Symbolon means like a medal that is cut in the middle. And one person has it, and they half, and the other person have half. So when they want to be together, they put the two half together, and then they know that they are talking with the right person. Okay, that was in the beginning of in the beginning after the Lord died, okay, and was risen. But now they left that name, which is very interesting because nobody knows what it is. But Symbalon is a digital platform available for the parishes. And the Holy Spirit, I was there, and I know it was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came when we went to talk to Monsignor McDonald about it, okay, about this program. I didn't take more than 10 minutes, and Monsignor says, yes, I want it. Mm. And he take the money and he paid for the program right then and there. So I know that was the Holy Spirit.
It's a digital
okay,
platform.
Okay, so St. Aidan's now is going to have this program, which is available for the parishes. Imagine putting something into the hands of every parishioner and that takes them to the heart of the Catholic Church. Imagine reaching them not just in the parish on Sunday, but in their homes, at work, at a play. Imagine adult faith formation 24/7. Mm-hmm. They can listen and watch in their homes, in the internet. They can watch in the smartphones, in the tablet, wherever they want, and they can. Everybody in the parish will have access, and they can be watched individually. They can watch with the families. They can watch with friends. They can watch with the children, and that is going to be so beautiful because they're going to show what the Catholic faith is all about. And they made this in different places. They made this in Rome. They made this in I think it was also in Calcutta when I don't remember exactly where all the places that they took, but what is important that is very, very easy to watch, that is very interesting. So if we watch with our children, they will not lose attention, is done by teachers that they are very, very good to watch. They have an interesting way of talking. And the 20 episodes in the program will take you through the entire story of the Catholic Church, and includes topics such as sacred scriptures, salvation history, Jesus, the church, Mary and the saints, the sacraments, including confession and the Eucharist, which we need so much, Catholic morality, God's plan for human sexuality, and Catholic social teachings. You know, what we have to do about the poor, how we have to do about the ones that they are not with us.
And it's available free to every parish member at any time during the day on the internet. To this digital platform. That's wonderful.
But how would they access it on the internet? They have to go to a certain website in order to access it?
We're going to give them the website, and we're going to give them the code, you know.
Oh, I see.
Okay? And the beauty with this is that they can enter anytime.
So
they don't have
self,
to come from the very beginning.
This is a self-taught program?
No. Done by professionals, though, aren't
they?
No,
but it's self-taught, meaning
you can interact with it.
You access it on the web, and you can move at your own speed and stuff like that.
Right.
Wow. That's amazing.
And anytime. They don't have to come from the beginning.
And is there a cost?
Not to the parishioners. The parishes pay for it. And have access. Every parishioner have access to that.
I see. That's very unique, and it's very interesting, and it should be promoted.
Yeah,
and we'll promote it.
Yeah, and I love the program, and I think that we're going to have. You see, I am with evangelization for a long time, and I didn't know how to access
it.
To that.
Yeah.
Okay? And all of a sudden, this comes, and I said, wow, this is what
this
is I really was waiting
Absolutely.
For.
Yeah.
Okay?
You're not excited about it.
Yes, I am very excited.
I can see it.
By the way. Don't worry, John will back you up. Any money you need, Palmer will back you up. Don't worry about it.
I heard the word, as long as I heard the word free, I loved it.
Right. And I would love that many churches will have this with them, because you see what the program is, that it's only for St. Aidan.
Yeah, but every parish
can
join.
But you could spread it to the doctor. To the diocese, all the parishes in the diocese.
Not in this program. They have to pay for it.
I understand.
They pay, say, $1,000 and everybody gets it.
Yeah.
So for that, in that parish?
In that parish. Yeah. It can access
it
anytime.
We pay already, you know, Monsignor pay.
I see.
Monsignor pay already for that, but we can. Now.
Question. Who tapes it?
Huh?
Who tapes it?
Who
is it taped by professionals? Who puts it together?
Oh, yes. A group of people that I know, I would say 80% of them, because they come from Steubenville.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
They are teaching from Steubenville.
Very good.
And we know they are very orthodox. You know, we know that they are very, as the popes wanted us to be, okay?
Nothing.
So it's a resource, because you know very well that many people left the church not because something happened. It's because they don't understand what the Catholic faith is.
They're not being fed, yes.
They don't understand the faith. They don't understand why we say what we say, what the dogmas of the church. They don't understand it.
Absolutely.
So when something happens that they don't like, they leave.
Yeah.
Or they can't put things together. They're not being fed. They don't feel that they're being given what they're looking for.
What's in my head is the words. Give me the name of the program again. Symbo. What's the name?
Symbolon.
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 Okay, it's like having St. Paul in your home, and you can access him anytime.
Yeah, and speaking of St. Paul. Beautiful.
Yeah, we have to move on to our saint of the day.
Right.
But we can check this out for our listeners, and anyone in a parish that is interested in this, get in touch with us.
Yeah, you can email us. listenup@aol.com. That's our email. listenup@aol.com. And we'll give all the listeners all the information they need. We'll get it from you, Tony, and we'll be happy to spread it out.
And, yeah. And really Tony will. Has a burning desire to talk about St. Paul.
I do.
Four stages. I can tell. He's sitting there chomping at the bit, waiting to talk.
I love that guy.
So go, talk.
Okay. You want to do it?
No, talk.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you why I'm so... I read up on St. Paul, and I broke his life down into four parts. He had four parts of his life. He hated Christians. He used to go into their houses and pull them out. And he got so excited when they stoned Stephen, and he just loved it, and he watched it happen, and he just... loved it. And the second part is that Jesus confronted him and says, why are you persecuting me? And of course he knocked him off the horse, etc. And he converted. He was hit with the Holy Spirit. He was blinded. He got his sight back, and he converted, and he fell in love with Jesus. And then the fourth part, he evangelized and went around talking about Jesus.
Say those four one more time.
He hated Christianity.
Yeah, God is no good. I don't
believe. He went into their houses and dragged them out.
Yeah.
He loved it when they stoned Stephen.
Yeah,
loved it.
Get him.
And then one day when he was riding, Jesus confronted him, knocked him off the horse, and says, why do you persecute me?
And that's how?
And he got blinded for 3 days, and Jesus told him where to go.
Yeah.
And he went. He got his sight back. But with that sight, I think he got the Holy Spirit.
Infused.
And with the Holy Spirit, he started falling in love with Jesus. And he started evangelizing. And his fourth part was he started traveling all over until he got put into prison. He fell in love with the Philippians. Fell in love with the Ephesians, literally loved the Philippians because they came and saw him in prison. So let me tell you a little something about him, okay? I'm sorry for taking so much time. I'm going to talk about the beginning part of his life. But after that, he just travels, and we'll do that another time. It was the stoning of Stephen that started it. Saul, which was his name, had watched it happen, and he made up his mind. The followers of Jesus were dangerous. They should be destroyed. That very day, he started going from house to house in Jerusalem, determined to discover all those who believed in Jesus. When he found any believers, he dragged them out of the house and had them thrown into prison. The law was on his side. The Jewish authorities said that anyone who believed that Jesus was the Son of God and that he had risen from the dead was guilty of blasphemy. The punishment for blasphemy, as in the case of Stephen, was death by stoning. And Saul just loved that, just loved it. Despite this, the Christian belief was growing stronger and spreading across the country. In particular, there was a large number of followers of Jesus in Damascus. So Saul went to a high priest of the Jews in Jerusalem and asked for letters giving him the power to enter into the synagogues of Damascus to seek out all and any followers of Jesus, of his new belief, and arrest them and bring them back to Jerusalem for trial. Then he set out on a long, dangerous journey. Suddenly, as he was nearing the city of Damascus, lightning seemed to flash all around him. And he fell to the ground. Then he heard a gentle, soft voice saying, Saul, Saul, why do you prosecute me? Who are you? Saul asked fearfully. I am Jesus, he said. The voice, I am Jesus whom you prosecute. Now get up and go to Damascus. You'll be told what to do. The men who were journeying with Saul stood there, uncertain what to do. They heard the voice, but did not see anyone. It was Saul staggered to his feet that he realized he could see nothing. Yeah, he was blind. His companion led him to the hand the rest of the way to Damascus, to the house of the man named Judas, who he lived on Straight Street in the middle of the city. Saul stayed there for 3 days, unable to see and refusing food and drink. At that time, a Christian in Damascus named
Ananias
had a vision. God spoke to him, telling him to go to Straight Street and ask for Saul at the house of Judas. But Ananias was afraid to go. He had heard all about Saul. Saul had a bad reputation with the Christians and he had done and what he had done in Jerusalem. Don't worry, said the voice of God. Saul's been praying. He knows you're coming. He visited Saul, put his hands on his head, and told him that Jesus had sent him so that the Saul might see again and believe. And from that moment, Saul's sight returned. He was baptized as a Christian and began to preach in Damascus, praising Jesus as the Son of God. Not surprisingly, Saul was now mistrusted by both Jews and the followers of Jesus. Eventually, he had to escape from the city during the night by being lowered into the basket of the city walls. And from then on, Saul became known by his Roman name, Paul, and he started his great work spreading the news of Jesus. And he did it. He'd done his travels. He locked up. He fell in love with the Philippians. He fell in love with the Ephesians. He was jailed. And Philippians sent him kind gifts while he was in jail. And Saul never forgot it. And whenever he addressed them with his apostles, he always started off, brothers and sisters. And that's what he thought of them. And that's the short part one of Saul.
Good.
Someday I would love to do part two, three, and four.
You know, we've been talking about evangelization for the whole hour in different ways, through the epistles, through the symbolon.
Through the Bible,
Through the Bible, through the saints.
Saints.
And it's also a way to evangelize people through music. And
absolutely.
I love it.
Absolutely.
And John, I have a song that I've picked to play today, and I don't know why I picked it, but it deals with conversion.
Oh.
It deals with
just what we're looking for.
Who is this little child? Who ever thought this little child could do what he did? I'd like to play it for a bit.
Oh,
because it
kind of
brings
thought.
It together.
That's so beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
She gets excited about Katarina Ray. Listen, she's just like Paul, scratching her head saying, who is this child?
That long ago, so very far away, a little child would be born and in a manger lay. And who would have thought this little child was born the King of Kings? Son of just a carpenter, but for whom the angels sing. And who would have thought
Isn't that what Paul was all
beautiful.
About?
Beautiful.
And isn't that what we are all
yeah.
about?
Yeah.
We say there's got to be a better way than the way we're living our lives. And the way we're living our lives is directed purely by human intellect. And there's a better way.
Human
there's
culture.
God's way. Mm. There's taking on the mind of God in our, through our hearts. And that will change all the stuff in the world that really is miserable. Look at the terrible things that are going on right now in this world.
I can't even think about
and
it.
Who would have thought that a little child in a manger could grow, die for the sins of man, and come back alive within a Eucharist and feed us and change us and make us whole? And we're convinced, we're sitting here convinced, Trevor's convinced, the Spanish guys are here for the show after this. They're convinced. George is here, Toadie's husband, he's convinced. Your wife, Joni, everybody. You know, we know our small circle of friends. We are all like tiny Pauls.
Absolutely.
And we have to be able to get up out of our blindness of our human intellect and open our hearts fully to the love of God and take that love and make it happen and change this world.
Right.
That's what we believe. That's what we're doing. That's what this show is about today and every day. And Toadie's been doing this for so many years.
What a beautiful
teaching,
job.
Teaching,
doing,
and getting the word out. And the Cymbalon sounds like it's perfect, a perfect tool for bringing it all together.
Yeah.
You know? I'm sorry if I get very excited, but I am.
Well,
it's hard for my blood pressure,
okay.
But, you know, it's okay.
It's good that I see the enthusiasm in you.
Oh, it's there.
That's
and it's in you, Tony,
there.
And it's in Toadie, and it's in the support of George, our husband.
And our love for Jesus.
Amen.
And that's why we're doing
Amen.
This.
There's nothing else worthwhile other than saying, hey, God's alive. He's dwelling in you. He will heal you if you let him. He will touch you if you let him. Mm. And he will change your life if you will let him. And then you become an evangelizer. You become Paul. That's what this program is about.
We're looking for one conversion a week, like
we
Paul.
And you know, I have an idea that, like Paul, became blind and received everything that Jesus wanted to do. We have to become blind to the world. You know,
yes.
To the things around us.
Yes.
And allow the Lord to give us all that he wants us, that we need to know to go and minister to others.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's our
prayer. We need to surrender.
Yes.
Right. We need to surrender ourselves. Put blinders on ourselves and surrender ourselves to Jesus and put ourselves just in Jesus' hands. Yes, I agree.
And the Lord will
That's
give
beautiful.
Us what we need to give others.
Yes.
And I have a concluding song because we're down to our last 2 minutes.
Okay.
And it kind of brings it all together.
It's all yours.
It's You Got a Friend in Jesus.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Amen. Toadie, we thank you for being with us and befriending us and being part of our program. We loved it.
Thank
and we
you,
thank
Toadie.
You for helping us get on fire. I love this song. Jesus is your best friend.
You got a friend in me.
Amen.
You got a
Get up and dance.
You got a soul. And I got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together, see it through. Cause you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. Some other folks might be a little bit smarter than I am, big and stronger too, maybe, but none of them will ever love you the
staff,
way
management,
I do.
Or owners of WGBB.
It's me and you, boy.
And as the years go by, a friendship will never die. Da-da-da-da. You're gonna see it's our destiny. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
From the heart of the Nautical Mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.